Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you, homeschool father of five, raising our children out here in the eastern plains of Colorado. And friends, we are big on reintegrating the family in the 21st century. We think it's important. We think the family is seven times weaker than it was 40 years ago. It's falling off the cliff in terms of its solidarity, in terms of its relevance, in terms of its strength, in terms of its ability to strengthen character and develop character in the next generation. Friends, we are in big, big trouble. And unless we do some radical things to reintegrate the family in education and economics and other ways, friends, we are not going to see family discipleship as you walk by the way, as you rise up, as you lie down. The kinds of things that God configured in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verses 7 through 9. We have made the law of God of none effect by our educational systems, by our economic systems. We have made fatherhood virtually irrelevant due to the fact that fathers left the family farm and disappeared from the life of their sons and their daughters for the most part over the last six generations. And our social systems now are unraveling big time, big time. One of the reasons why 88% of kids are walking away from the faith per the Southern Baptist is really because we have lost the integration of the family. We have disallowed the possibility of family discipleship in a day by day, hour by hour experience with our, which our kids really, really, really need. That's why we're bringing back family based education in the form of home education. That's why we're bringing back family-based economics in terms of our family economics conferences, which we hold each year now. And the next one's going to be our biggest, friends. Oh, man, it's going to be the biggest. We're going to have more workshops, more vendors, more opportunity for interaction, way more panels, way more ideas. I'm talking about thousands of ideas that are going to come together in terms of how we develop our family economic systems in the 21st century. And that's happening at Wheaton College March 8th through 10th, coming up here in just about, what, 8-9 weeks. This may be some of the most important days that you have spent with your family, developing a family vision for future generations. And friends, the Family Economics Conference is March 8th through 10th at Wheaton College, coming up in just about 8-9 weeks. Now, to sign up for the conference, it's FamilyEconomics2012.com. Again, FamilyEconomics2012.com to sign up for that conference. If you have trouble attending the conference, can't afford it, please just email me at host@kevinswanson.com and we'll talk about it, because I believe families need to be here. We're expecting several thousand, about 2,000 people at this conference, making this the largest family economics conference in the history of this country. And friends, we believe this is the time to restructure the family and to restructure economics during the decline of the family and the decline of our economic system, which is happening right now in the Western world. Now's the time to rebuild for the future. Let's do it on biblical principles and base it in family economies. That great reformation is going to start in just a few weeks at Wheaton College, March 8th through 10th at the Family Economics 2012 Conference. Ladies and gentlemen, in just a moment, we're going to talk about how to integrate your children into the family economy. I think this interview is one of the best. You're going to enjoy it. This interview with Andy Davidson and Tally in just a moment on the Generations Radio broadcast.
Are you tired of running the corporate rat race? Are you struggling to make healthcare choices? Are you looking for a better job? Maybe even a job that your entire family can be involved in? Do you want to take your family to the next level? The 2012 Family Economics Conference is designed to help family with the vision and resources to make practical steps to build their family's economy. From practical household budgeting and finance, to starting your own business, to making wise decisions about college and career preparation, the Family Economics Conference has something for everyone. There will even be a special Proverbs 31 track for the ladies' role in the family economy. For more information, or to sign up online, go to www.FamilyEconomics2012.com. That's FamilyEconomics2012.com.
And welcome back, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. Today we want to talk about family economies. And as you know, family economies draw in the entire family, and that's the idea, which means that oftentimes our families will have multi streams coming into the family because we've got a lot of projects going on all the time.
And included in that is our children. We want to see our children learning something about responsibility, about business, about economics, entrepreneurship early on. As you know, freedom and responsibility sort of have a connection, and they affect our politics. They affect our political freedoms. They affect our economic freedoms. And we can sure teach our children something about their own economies and how to be responsible and enjoy the freedom that comes with responsibility early on. And that, of course, is one of the opportunities we have as parents to do that. And to join me on this program and to talk about some of these things, Andy Davidson and her daughter Tally is with me now. They've been here before to talk about family economic ideas. And now they join me on the Generations broadcast. Andy, Tally, welcome to the program.
Hi there. Thanks for having us.
It's great to have you. Now, Tally has been working with some entrepreneurial endeavors for a little while. Now, how old is Tally?
She is 12 years old.
Okay. And how long? How long has she been sort of working on some of her own projects?
I would say probably about 3 years ago. So I think she was about 9 years old mm-hmm. when she decided she wanted to start her own business.
Okay. Well, Tally, how did it get started? What did you start with?
Well, my dad wanted us to make bread because mommy's been making bread for a long time. Mm-hmm. So he wanted us to make bread. And then when we started making bread, Asher and I, we started making bread. Mm-hmm. My dad thought it would be a good idea for us to sell it as a business in our neighborhood and some shopping centers.
Hmm. So, and did you sell a few loaves of bread?
Yeah.
Have you sold hundreds of loaves of bread?
Yes. She had a goal when she had done it for about a year and at a local marketplace, but then she had told us that she wanted to get some horses because she had some other business ideas uh-huh. she could do with horses. And, of course, most little girls love horses. Uh-huh. So we told her that she needed to earn $500 before we would consider it so that she could help with the cost.
Okay.
And I think we told her that probably in May. And I think how long did it take you, Tally, to earn your first $500? About 2 months. Took about 2 months to reach that goal before she was able. So that really encouraged her to see that if she worked hard and was diligent, she could make a decent amount of money for a 12-year-old.
And what can you do with horses?
Well, I was thinking of doing a cart. Mm-hmm. I was going to train them to pull a cart. And we were going to do little pony parties because some people hire a clown. And we thought maybe we could do kind of that kind of thing where they'd hire us and we'd give the little girls or boys rides, mm-hmm. let them groom the horses, let them see them and just interact with them.
Sure. And are you on the track for that particular business idea?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Have you bought the horse yet?
Yes.
You have?
I have two little ponies.
You bought two little ponies. Wow. That's a big project. And did you bring them home, and are you now taking care of them?
Yes.
Wow. Have you done a pony party yet?
No, we haven't.
But that's the idea?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, she's kind of in the middle of training them right now. There's a lot of training required and teaching them to pull a cart and that type of thing. So the bread business is kind of a stepping stone for mm-hmm. something. She's good at baking bread, but it's not her passion compared to working with animals. So that was a business that she's still doing, but was kind of a stepping stone to something else that she has her sights set on.
Andy, do you think that children naturally like to be involved in entrepreneurial endeavors? Do you think this comes naturally, or do you have to encourage them to this?
You know, that's a good question. Because of our two older children, I would say one of them has a real natural love to sell things and to meet new people,
yeah.
and the other one is terrified of it and does not consider that something fun at all. So I think it depends on the child. I think some of them, you have to push a little harder. But I think every child, when they see their hard work paying off, I think there is a natural thing that God put in them to enjoy seeing their ability to make a profit and to contribute to something.
Yeah.
We've also learned that it's provided a great context for us to teach our children a lot of the basic biblical principles about running businesses, just simple things like accurate scales being God's delight, it says in Proverbs 11, and how that has really encouraged them, even though they're tempted to maybe exaggerate something when they're trying to make a sale, to really be honest about their product, or
teaching them about having perseverance and not despising the day of small beginnings, as it says in Zechariah 4, to even though they're only maybe making a little in the beginning, or maybe they're not even making profit the first time they tried, to really learn to be faithful in little so that they can be trusted with much, as it says in Luke 16. So that's, it's provided an excellent platform to teach some of those character traits about failure and about suffering and about perseverance and diligence. That has really helped. So I think every child enjoys when they see themselves be successful. And I think as a parent, that can be an excellent way to teach them some of those character traits that will bring success later on in life that they will desperately need as they're running their own family economies when they get older.
Andy, what kind of things do you do to motivate and encourage your children to work, to do business, or entrepreneurial endeavors? Is this something that you perform and they emulate you, or are you seeing that you need to be a cheerleader for them?
Yes. I think that's a big part of it, is that they watch their parents. You know, about 2 years ago I had gone through a year where I, after attending your family economics conference, I had tried out about three different businesses, and they helped in some of those. And the first two businesses were not very successful, and we didn't make a profit, and they were working for me. So I had told them that you'll get 20% of the profit. And then when no profit came in, they had to realize, wow, I did all that work and we didn't make a profit. And then the third business that we started was this Quiet Times for Kids business that's an online Bible study for children downloadable program. And they watched me do that, and they started to see the profit come in. They started to see, wow, Mommy, this is really working. And they enjoyed watching me build the website and learning about that type of thing. And that's when I really noticed their interest really peaked. They saw me persevere through a few failings, and they saw that, wow, you're making money on this and it's actually working. And then they were able to translate that into, okay, well, that was something that worked for you. What would work for me? What could I do? And we really tried to encourage them to do some research to find out where is the intersection between a need in the market and something they really enjoy, you know, a need that the consumer would see as valuable. In Tally's case, that was homemade whole wheat bread. Not many families make homemade whole wheat fresh ground bread anymore. And so that was a need that a lot of her consumers really wanted. It was worth it to them to pay $5 for a loaf of bread, as long as they knew it was fresh and warm when she delivered it to them and made with whole ground wheat. And yet it was something she really enjoyed doing too. So I think a lot of that was by example, that our kids saw the work. You know, my husband also has an upholstery shop that is run out of our home, and they see a customer come and him making a sale to the customer. And I think a lot of that, they see that example, and it inspires them to work hard to see a profit come from their diligence.
Now, you've got so many things going on in your home. I mean, you've already mentioned three or four things on the air. How do you keep track of everything?
Yes, that can be a challenge. That definitely, I think one of the biggest challenges our family faces is we had a lot of stars in our eyes about having home-based entrepreneurial endeavors. And then when we actually started doing it, when my husband quit his job that was paying a steady paycheck twice a month and he started working for himself, we realized, wow, our family time actually in the beginning decreased. We didn't have as much time to spend together. We were a slave to the emails that were coming in. So that has been a challenge for us to learn to just keep a balance of everything, to make a decision that at a certain time at night, things shut down. And even though we really want to finish this project or finish this website, that we just need to say, no, we need to sit down and read with the kids or have our family worship time or play a game together. So that's one thing I think every family that is desiring to do home-based businesses has to learn, to draw some lines in certain places so that it doesn't overwhelm you and so that it doesn't steal your family time. Because the original goal was so that this would help contribute to our family life, that it would free up more time for us to spend discipling our children. But yet, on the other hand, doing the work with them also is a part of that process. So just because we're working doesn't mean we're not spending time together. Right. So it can be a challenge to try to balance both of those things.
It seems to me that one of the things you want to do as you integrate your children into the family economy is really to focus on their character. You know, working together, it's amazing how it manifests things in you or in each other that you never saw before. And sometimes that's irritating and difficult to work with. But it is important to see that even if you're not making a big profit, you're doing something together. You're learning something about your children's character, and you're taking opportunity, hopefully, to hone that character.
Yes, that's a good point, too, that all of those life lessons will be learned at one point or another. It might be when they're supporting a family or when they're working for somebody else in their first job when they're 17 or 18, and all of a sudden a major character flaw comes to the surface that your child is tempted to not have accurate weights in their dealings with other people. But it is a huge benefit to find those weaknesses early on when they're still a small weed in the garden before they become a huge weed that is really destructive in their life. This has provided kind of a platform to observe our children a lot more and to discuss a lot of the things that we see and the temptations that you have in the business realm. There's so many ways that you could cut corners and that maybe you could make a profit quicker, or so many things that come up when you see a child who fails at something, or when your child sees you as a parent fail at something, that as a family you have a really bad year and the money's just not there and you've invested in advertising but it's not paying off. And that's kind of what happened to us. Our, about 3 years ago, we had had numerous things we tried that just kept failing. So even walking through that with the kids and showing them that we need to be faithful in the little things, and just because we had a failing here, we need to, you know, a righteous man falls and he gets up again. So let's get up again and let's reevaluate. And so I think all of those things, I think you're right, teaching them character is the foundation of teaching them to be successful.
Do you think every child has a problem with slothfulness at some level in some area, whether it is just performing a job or doing schlocky work and then moving on to the next thing or what have you? Do you think that pretty much every child has to work through some slothfulness issues?
Yes, I think very much so. And actually, Tally had written down one of the things she wanted to share was one of the lessons that she learned regarding laziness and slothfulness when her neighbors would have a regular bread order.
Yeah.
And sometimes, Tally, tell them what the lesson that you learned regarding that.
Yeah.
I learned that I need to be responsible and that this is not just a game. It's real life. And I would have an order at one of our neighbors' houses, and they would ask me be there here at this time, and I'd be playing with my sister in the room, and I'd totally forget what I had to do, and I was just thinking about my own, what I wanted to do. I mean, it's just a simple mistake, but I still need to be responsible.
Yeah.
Right?
You procrastinate, you put these things off.
And probably every parent has to fight that temptation to take the easy road and not do the hard work, even when it's required of you, or when you've made a commitment to somebody that, yes, I'll have that done by 5 o'clock on Thursday, and 6 o'clock rolls around and you realize you totally forgot it because you've been playing all afternoon.
Yeah.
So that is definitely something that we've had to work through.
Yeah. How do you detect the seeds of slothfulness? I mean, when you're looking at, I mean, you don't need to speak about Tally, but, you know, when you just look at your children in general, I mean, how do you sense that there may be a slothfulness issue?
You know, one thing I think is when you see a child that's constantly looking for the shortcut.
Yeah.
That they're always trying to do the easy way. You know, they're vacuuming the floor and they notice something on the floor that belongs in the bedroom and they just decide to throw it onto the kitchen table instead of taking the extra 4 steps to bring it all the way to the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're carrying a load in from the car. One thing my husband often talks about is a lazy man's load. A lazy man's load is when you know you should probably take 2 trips, but you just want to get it done in one, so you stack it all in your hands and you end up tripping and dropping it all. And so you end up doing more work because you tried to look for the shortcut. So I think that's one way we know notice it in our kids, is when they're always trying to find the easy way out in a situation or a shortcut to get the work done, but not as concerned about actually doing an excellent job, even if it takes a few minutes more. When they're wiping the counter and they just go around, you know, the paper towel dispenser and they don't actually take the time to pick it up and clean behind it. Just those little teeny things do our little weeds in the garden of their heart that if they go undetected, they turn into really, really big, significant things later on in life.
So, and you don't solve it overnight.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Trying to encourage them to take the extra 2 minutes to go all the way and do an excellent job, I think, is something that when they are able to maybe conquer some of that slothfulness in their life. And I've heard it said from other families, I think this is for some reason more of a weakness in young men, but definitely not something that's impossible to overcome.
Right. Well, now let's talk a little bit about the marketing aspect of your children's businesses, specifically Tally's efforts here. Would you say that children are typically good marketers, or are they sort of afraid of rejection?
I would say afraid of rejection is definitely a big thing. I think everybody, adults are afraid of rejection. Sure. Nobody likes to be told no when you're offering a product. I think also children kind of have a natural, maybe naivety, thinking that, oh, I could just do this and everybody will buy it. Everybody will want one.
Sure.
So I'm going to invest a lot of money and take a big risk because surely I'll sell all these things. Mm-hmm. So we've had to really go through that with our son right now is starting a woodworking business where he's selling a lot of woodworking products, but they cost a lot to buy the exotic woods to start with. So trying to encourage him to be realistic and find the need for your product first before you spend a lot of money on a product based on some speculation that a lot of people will purchase your product. Mm-hmm. So starting small. So that's been one lesson we've learned along the way in working with our kids. Mm-hmm. Tally, do you think that's hard for a lot of kids to make a sale, to walk up to somebody and offer them a product? And were you ever afraid that somebody would just say, no, I don't want to buy your bread?
Yeah, a little bit. I've gotten over that. I guess since when I first started, it was a little more scary because I hadn't been doing it and it was just new to me and I just didn't know what's going to happen and stuff like that. But now it's easier. And when someone says no, I just, it's actually a lot easier now that I'm more used to it.
Mm-hmm. Have you had to train your children to handle rejection? It seems to me your son has a hard time with marketing, I think you said. But
Yes, we very much have. We have that first time that we drove up to the Safeway Center and we were walking just in various shops kind of in this outdoor mall area. And we would sit in the car and a couple of the kids would say, please, no, don't make us do this. We're too scared. And we'd walk over. I'd rehearse. I'd act like I'm the customer and have them give their spiel of why they were selling it or what they're saving their money for, which we've learned really helped to just introduce themselves and tell them why they've started this business and what they're saving money for. And I would role play with them. I would say, you know, no, I'm not interested in buying that because for whatever reason, and trying to encourage them to smile and be polite with their customer and say thank you and walk out knowing that it's okay. Everybody doesn't have to say, yes, I'll buy that. Not everybody's going to buy a product from you. But this is one area that my father, who my parents come out and help us one day a week, every Thursday they come out, and my dad is one of those born salesmen that could sell ice to an Eskimo. And he really walked them through that a lot, just taught them that it's okay if somebody says no, just smile and move on to the next person. I've seen them grow in that area, even our son who, but I've also noticed that bread was not his passion. Baking's not something he loved. So it was a lot harder for him to deal with some of those obstacles like fear of rejection, especially when he was doing something he didn't love. Mm-hmm. Now that he's doing woodworking and he's making these pens and turning them on the lathe, he's a lot more confident and bold because it's something I think that naturally he's so interested in. Mm-hmm. So I think that might be another key to it. If it's something your child just really doesn't enjoy, then you might just want to try to brainstorm a few other ideas for something they enjoy so that the obstacles are not so great to overcome for them.
Now, do your children keep the proceeds they get from their sales, or does it turn back into the family economy?
We've kind of a little bit half and half. We have determined that, like, for example, for Tally, she pays a certain amount of rent because she's basically renting the kitchen, renting the bread mixer and the grain mill and the electricity. So she pays a certain amount of the profit from every one of her loaves goes back into her rent that she used the facilities. And then, of course, another amount is actually the original ingredients that she pays. And so that rent goes back into the family budget because that helps pay for us providing the environment for her to make that in. So it's usually been anywhere between 20 and 30% of a product that they put back into the family budget. Just knowing that we're working together as a family and then that can be reinvested in other areas. And then we usually require them of the remainder, say it's another 70%, half of that goes towards their sale. Well, they tithe off the very top of their product and then they pay the family back the amount of the initial investment cost. And then we split the remainder of the profit in half. Half of it goes towards savings and the other half can go towards something more of a short-term thing that they're saving up for. Like in Tally's case, it was purchasing the horses and the fencing and the initial investment of food and such like that she was saving money for.
Wow. That sounds great. Now, real quickly, you talk about risk. I mean, do you think it's important for children to take risks and learn how to handle risks at an early age?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think so very much. We've often thought that and talked to our son about this. Just when he tries something and it doesn't work, I often remind him and say, just be glad that you don't have a wife and three children you're feeding right now. I know you lost money on that investment, but this is a time in your life that you can afford to do that. You've got a roof over your head. This is a comfortable time. And I think that's a huge challenge for many people today to take a risk and to get back up again. And so I see that as a very valuable way to teach them to have perseverance, to be faithful in something small in a time in their life that it's not so great. When my husband stepped out of the normal working world with a reliable paycheck, he had four children to feed and a wife who was pregnant expecting number five, and he was apprenticing under somebody making $10 an hour, and that was kind of a, he often thought, if only I did this 10, 15 years ago when I was single and when I didn't have a family to support, it would have been a much easier transition. So in many ways, we look at our children now, and of course, we want to save them from some of the mistakes we made, so we see this as an excellent time in their life to fail. It's a great time for them to learn some of those lessons and to not get too discouraged to try again. Mm-hmm.
Andy, I talked a little bit about training our children in the lessons of freedom and responsibility as we raise them. You're obviously trying to do that in the home with the family entrepreneurial endeavors. What's your vision? What as you've talked with Scott about this, what's the vision for the kids as they grow up?
Obviously, our very first vision, I would say, is that they learn to love the Lord with all their heart, soul, and mind and walk according to His ways. And that affects every area of their life. It affects their relationships with their siblings and their future relationships with spouses and the way their finances is run in their home and their relationship to the community and to the church. So I would say that's probably the first and foremost goal that we kind of evaluate all of their activities and actions up against, is that, is this activity going to help us accomplish that primary goal of loving the Lord and walking in His ways?
But suppose you didn't do any of this entrepreneurial stuff. Suppose you just, you know, did the sort of the normal thing. They're doing the sports games. They play their games. They do their little entertainment thing. They sit and study the books for 4, 5, 6 hours a day. But none of this practical entrepreneurial family economic stuff was really included in the family vision. I mean, what do you think would happen? What's the difference? How does this add to the training of your children?
Yeah. You know, a few years ago, we kind of sat down and we were evaluating what do we want our kids to keep busy with. And one of the things that we realized is that whatever your children are involved with, they start to develop an appetite for. And if they're, you know, a child who's playing video games all day develops an appetite for video games, and a child who's playing competitive sports develops a strong appetite for competitive sports, and a child who's entertained constantly develops an appetite for that. And I think a child who works hard and sees the profit of their hands develops an appetite for that as well. Or a child who digs into God's word and sees how it can bring life and encouragement to them, that appetite becomes stronger. So that was one thing we looked at. You know, what kind of appetites do we want to develop in our children? Do we want to encourage things at an early age, encourage them to be, you know, really spending 10, 15 hours a week at ballet practice so that they can get on stage and perform and develop an appetite for performance? That was something that we had to evaluate and realize that there's a lot of things that kids are involved with today that we didn't want our children to have an appetite for. But investing in a business and hard work and the character that brings is something we desperately wanted them to develop an appetite
for.
Well,
let me ask Tally about this. Tally, you got an appetite for entrepreneurial stuff, for raising your horses and getting this business going. I mean, is this something that you enjoy, where you get up in the morning and you say, oh, this is going to be so much fun, we got to get some pony parties going today? Is that something that excites you?
Yes.
It's a good answer. That's a great answer. Would you encourage other little guys and gals to do what you've been doing?
Well, just if there's one day that doesn't go so well when you're selling things, it doesn't mean that nobody likes your things or nobody wants to buy from you. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just because nobody that day had any cash, or maybe nobody that day needed that. Or so if they just need to keep persevering.
Mm-hmm. And you've been persevering. What do you enjoy about making bread and working on your ponies?
Well, I've always loved working with animals. Mm-hmm. And working with bread is just, it's not my favorite thing to do, but it helps with, like, feeding the horses. Like, I went out this afternoon to sell bread, and I just need to care for the horses, and I think it really gets me ready for me to be a mom or a wife. And in Proverbs 31:18, it says a wise woman's marketing is profitable. So it makes me want to be wise and makes me want to get ready to be a mom or a wife.
Mm-hmm. Man, that's a great little testimony. What sort of encouragement could you give other parents who may be looking into this for their children? I mean, they wanted the very best for their kids. They want to get them going on something that's very practical, that can prepare them for life. And they may be interested in getting them going with some of their own businesses. Is there any advice you could give them?
Yeah, I think one thing a few parents I've talked to about who don't naturally have a bent towards entrepreneurialism have told me that they feel really overwhelmed, that they feel like they can't even do it themselves, so how would they possibly encourage their children to do it? And I would just encourage people to take risks, to step out and to learn next to their kids. A lot of us as homeschool parents, we know what that's like. We know what it's like to know nothing about World War I, and yet you have to teach it to your kids, so it means that you just study it together. And I know that that can be no different with this situation. If you don't know much about business management or entrepreneurialism, just decide that this is something we're going to learn together. And I guess I would just start, I don't necessarily have a book that I could recommend off the top of my head, but I would just start looking through, obviously the Proverbs is a great place to start, talks a lot about marketing and about business dealings and about debt and about money management, and just even reading through that with a mind towards business to maybe write down with their children, read through a Proverbs and say, is there anything that we can pull out from this in terms of economics or business management or marketing? Is there any lessons that we can glean from here?
Yeah. And if they're stepping out and risking something in an economic endeavor of some sort, worst case, they may have to trust in God and pray.
Exactly.
Together with their kids. You ever do that?
We've done that quite a few times. And another thing I've learned is that children are adorable no matter what they do. So even if they walk in and try to sell something and the customer doesn't want it, they're still going to give a smile to your kids. So I would take advantage of the cuteness factor.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easier for me. I don't enjoy walking into a public place and doing a cold sale, but it's a lot easier if I have a couple kids on my side and we can all smile and introduce ourselves. And so I would encourage them also to take advantage of that children naturally are something that's appealing to people. People smile when they see a few cutely dressed, respectable children walk in and introduce themselves. That's very foreign to people. So whether they want what you're selling or not, I think they'll just be blessed to see respectable children in introducing themselves to them.
Yeah. So and it can be a wonderful testimony to the neighbors and to friends and people out there. It'd be a great testimony, and nothing like getting our Christian example out before others, and hopefully our children will reflect that as they get out into the marketplace.
And just teaching our kids and teaching us as well that anxiety isn't of the Lord, and we're commanded not to fear. So that even includes little things like fear of rejection when you're trying to sell something. That's not something that the Lord says that we're allowed to do. So we need to reject that even in ourselves as well.
Yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Andy Davidson and Tally as well. And if you're interested in some of the lessons they have on Proverbs, you might check out quiettimesforkids.com. Some great materials there available at the website. And by the way, I just went there, Andy. It looks great.
Oh, thank
you. Great looking website.
Thank you. And there's also a lot of videos on the website of just different ways that we have used to creative ways to teach our children character that they can kind of get a glimpse into our family life as well that I think some of your listeners might enjoy.
That's very good. Quiet Times for Kids is the website. Andy, thanks so much for joining us. Tally, you too.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
And folks, you might also check out our Proverbs study guides that we have put out over the last couple of years. We've got some 850 pages on training your kids in the book of Proverbs, God's book of wisdom. Those Bible study guides available at kevinswanson.com. Folks, you can interact with the program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. You can also hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.